I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Right now, directing the termination of 5.1 billion in DoD contracts. Not million, that's with a B. 5.1 billion in DoD contracts for ancillary things like consulting and other non-essential services. So here's a few examples. DHA contracts for consulting services from Accenture, Deloitte, Booz Allen, and other firms. They're gonna save the department $1.8 billion. How about a software reseller contract for enterprise cloud IT services, saving the department $1.4 billion. A $500 million Navy contract for business process consulting. Again, process, lots of process, lots of consultant for administrative offices in the Bureau of Medicine. By the way, we need this money to spend on better health care for our warfighters and their families instead of $500 an hour business process consultant.
Absolutely. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth outlining how they're going to cut $5 billion of waste in our War Department, previous Defense Department. Money that was just going to some inane corner of the Pentagon or into someone's pockets, satisfying, buying votes, buying privilege, who knows? Bottom line, it was wasted. It was your tax dollars being wasted. $5 billion. Now, this did not happen overnight. It built up and built up, and it kept getting approved through Congress. Various line items and things of this nature added. And the situation, if you're in government and you need to set your budget, if you didn't use all the money you got from your last budget approval, you can't report that you didn't use all of it. My God, are you stupid? You find a way to use it. So then you can ask for even more. And once again, if you don't use all of it, you're not going to report we didn't use all of it. We used it. We, you know, call up Larry Connors. He'd be a good $500 an hour consultant. Oh, I damn sure would. I'd be like many consultants, and I know friends who are consultants. But it is back to the idea that you're going to hire somebody, come in and talk to me about my business, tell me what to do about it, when they know nothing about my business. That's often what happens with consultants. Not all the time, but enough. I want to remind you right now, we are in the process of preparing to celebrate on July 4th, America's 250th birthday. Stop and think about everything that's been done before you began life in this nation. And what's happened to our world over 250 years. What we have achieved in this nation. I mentioned to you the other day, I was watching, I believe it's on Netflix, I can't recall, Amazon, something like that. The story just titled Franklin. Numerous episodes, 8-plus episodes, Michael Douglas portraying Ben Franklin, focusing on the time Franklin had gone to France to try to incorporate France to join us in the fight against the British so we could win our Revolutionary War. It is a fascinating storyline. It's got some things in there that kind of get boring, but it just reimplants the fact of what we were trying to do at that time to get our nation back, or really actually activate our nation. Franklin spent 9+ years trying to do that. And eventually the British are the ones who seceded that, okay, we will let you have your little country, do what you want. You won't have to report to us in any way. No kidding. Then let me also take a moment to remind you, News Talk STL, we are preparing to celebrate our 5th anniversary. This station did not exist 5 years ago. without the thought, the creation, and the endeavor, and the sweat, and money, and probably a lot of sleepless nights of our local owners, Joe Rush and Jeff Allen, and shareholders that came forward and saw the vision we have and shared in it. And we're still here and growing. And I want to thank you for helping make that possible. I am honored. I am truly honored to be part of the Newstalk STL team. All right, we're with Larry Connors USA. We're here for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. If you miss anything, they later go up as a podcast. You can get the podcast at Newstalk STL, or you can get it at LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, or any podcast outlet you want. We're not telling you where you had to get it. We leave that to you. But reminding you, when we're on the air like we are right this moment, at this very moment, we're streaming video at Newstalk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble. And I see more and more of you watching. I see more and more of you pulling up the podcast. And I see more and more of you that appear to be taking what I ask you to do. If you pull up a podcast to listen or watch later, share it with someone. Share it with folks of like mind. Spread the word. Or as I also say, share it with your enemies. They might actually begin to realize, I'm on the wrong side of the fence here. You're always going to get with Larry Connors USA news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. I promise you. And later in this hour, we're going to focus again in more detail on CBS dumping Scott Pelley. We discussed that some in the last hour, what's happened with him, and also my guest, James Hurston, international attorney, often on numerous network programs, talking about Scott Pelley's firing. He said, aside from the bias of Scott Pelley, he did the one thing you cannot do. You cannot basically curse out your boss in front of the public and everyone else to see. I don't know that, and Hurston did not use the word curse. Let me reaffirm that. But either way, he mocked his boss. And you think you can keep your job when you do that? Well, of course, Pelley's going to file a lawsuit. But there are other networks out there that I'm sure he's already talking to. Speaking of waste again, we continue to find and uncover it, and it's impressive in the sense of what the Trump administration has been doing. I'm not talking about just the DOGE efforts with Vivek and Elon when it first began. I'm talking about how it continues. Dr. Mehmet Oz talking about how Obamacare just absolutely stole and continues to steal U.S. taxpayer dollars.
Let's talk about Obamacare. Let's take a step back. 2015, 16, 17, 18, 2020, there were 9 million people on Obamacare. 9 million. Today, it's more than 20 million. Like, what happened? What happened was we completely took the guardrails off. And I know this because I'm working in the agency that actually was told to take the guardrails off. And because there wasn't an earnest desire to keep track of whether you're appropriately honored or not, but more importantly, just get the number to where we all feel good about ourselves, We had massive increases of people joining the program. We believe that 35%, roughly, of the people that are using the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare exchanges, because they've never used the program once. They've never filed a claim.
Never.
May not be legit. And that actual number may translate to, I don't know, 5-6 million people we could be paying premiums for because they don't have to contribute anything. So they don't even know they're getting it. These are people who have Medicaid, and someone, often a broker, is dishonestly enrolling them in Affordable Care Act. Or they're in two states at once getting full insurance paid for by us.
And they might be 125 years old, according to birth records. Or they might only be 3 months old. And the other money sucker that we've dealt with in the Democrat administrations, pushed by Obama and Gore and others, of course, climate hoax. Oh, my God, the climate, we're all going to die. We're going to die. Well, now, Stuart Varney pointing out, even the World Health Organization says, that's gibberish.
Now this, the United Nations has withdrawn their worst case conclusion on climate. Now they have been thinking that temperatures would go up by 8 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of this century and that the polar ice caps would melt completely. Daniel Turner is with us this morning. I thought that UN declaration, they abandoned that forecast, I thought that was a very big deal for climate science.
It really was, but I think there needs to be a reckoning because this wasn't just a mistake in climate calculations or in science. There are whole countries that destroyed their economies. Yep. The UK shut down the North Sea oil and gas, right? We have entire nations that have crippled themselves and made themselves energy poor because of climate change. And not only that, generationally, how many young children have grown up with real climate anxiety that are convinced they're going to die? These scientists, for political reasons, did great damage to the world. And it's not enough for them to say, oops, we made a mistake. There needs to be a reckoning for this.
What would be a reckoning? What would it be?
They lose all of their funding. They are discredited. They have to offer formal statements. They should be forced to go around to schools and tell young people, you don't have to be worried about climate change.
That's you're not going to happen.
Of course not. But it's not enough to just say, hey, we made a mistake. And they did this for political calculations, and that's what's wrong.
And they had deep political pockets they can also go to, like a George Soros or others, who will continue to fund this lie. And of course, now the story is the Earth's not warming. We need to worry about a deep freeze. Hot, cold, hot, cold. This is, again, as I refer to often, car blinker philosophy. It's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. And then you look at how the left was going wacko when Trump started putting on tariffs and everything else and how it was going to affect our trade and basically it was going to hurt our nation, as if they really cared, to be quite honest. Even CNN and NBC had to admit these numbers on the trade deficit are pretty shocking.
This is unreal, the movement in this number. Minus 29.4 billion. We cut it basically in half. We cut it in half. Just consider this. In March, it was 136 billion. Right now, it's a whisker under 30 billion. We haven't been that small in a long time. I don't have enough records here to go back that far, but you're going back a ways.
Yep. Cut it in half. By the way, to the latest report from the Labor Department, businesses in the U.S., business adding more jobs than expected in May, indicating the economy's demand for labor is accelerating. We're talking about private sector. The ADP research saying this is the biggest increase since January of 2025. We're not talking about government jobs, which the left loves to fill. We're talking about private jobs. Construction adding 8,000 workers to payroll. Manufacturing adding 3,000. Trade, transportation, utilities, 36,000. And yet the biggest gain came in education and health services, 57,000 jobs. Professional, business services, finance, leisure, hospitality, all adding jobs. The economy's not hurting, it's growing. Yes, the Iran war is putting a crimp in it right now, but it's still growing. Now, I want to ask you a question very quickly. Speaking of freedom of speech, which I'm going to right now briefly, would you favor a flag flying that says, when Biden was in office, let's assassinate Joe Biden? Would you think that's a good expression of free speech? Well, on one hand, yes. But on the other hand, you want to tolerate that as a threat against the president? I've got a story coming up where we're going to get into that, where a guy is making that as a possibility for Trump. Another attempt on Trump. That you will hear before we wrap up this hour. In the meantime, Democrats just refused to get away from a toxic candidate for Senate in Maine, Graham Plattner.
But are you comfortable having a potential colleague with a Nazi tattoo that he knew was a Nazi tattoo in 2019, took him years afterward to get rid of it?
Casey, I'm just going to answer the same way I just answered you. Anything I say is going to be played somewhere in Maine. Maine voters need to make this call. Once they do make the call, I'm sure I'm going to have some things to say.
Yeah.
But as far as next Tuesday goes, that's the primary day. There's three names on the ballot. Maine Democrats will decide.
Why don't
so if you come back on Wednesday of next week, we could ask you, you might answer.
When you ask me when the primary is said and done, I'll tell you what I think.
Why will you not say now? Coward! Take a stand, damn it. Bernie Sanders has, to his credit, oh, I'm with the Platner, I am. He'll fight Trump. And Senator Chris Murphy has already said, yeah, I'm with anyone who will fight against Trump. And I again am raised, are we talking about the Iran mullahs? Are you with them also? You might well be. And Chuck Schumer, listen to how many times he's peppered with questions and just go repeat.
On Graham Platner, are you satisfied with the explanations he's given for the controversies his campaign has faced right now? Are you concerned about what we've heard?
I met with Graham Platner today. We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate.
Yes. So you're saying that Janet Mills, your preferred candidate, there's been rattlings that she should get back in. You're standing behind Graham Platner, to be clear here?
We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate.
With Platner.
Yes. We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate. Any other subject you got? Any other subject? Yes. Yes. You right there.
Do you believe that Janet Mills should unsuspend her campaign?
We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate. Last one.
You have not said if you're still endorsing Graham Platner. Are you still supporting Graham Platner?
As I said, I endorsed Graham Platner. We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the echo chamber. You want some common sense? There is a Democrat with that. That would be Pennsylvania Senator Fetterman.
What kind of a creeper has been on a decade on a platform like Kick and send a dozen explicit kinds of messages and who knows what else?
Would it be better for Democrats if he was not the candidate here?
I'm saying it's like, when I was growing up, if someone had a clear Nazi tattoo on them, you probably could conclude that there's a Nazi sympathizer. At some point, are you going to continue to defend that or dismiss that?
Yeah. Now, Platner served in our military, in the Marines, as a matter of fact, 3 combat tours. I give him credit for that. But he's wearing a Nazi tattoo, and he's blasted blacks and homosexuals and gays, and yet the left wants to endorse him because they've got no one else. That's how desperate they are. Coming up, Scott Pelley, as reported by leftist Rachel Maddow. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beale to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The storied, venerable journalist and 60 Minutes correspondent Scott Pelley has tonight been fired by the newly revamped CBS News. Yesterday, Mr. Pelley reportedly lambasted the new leadership at 60 Minutes and at CBS for effectively killing the long-running news magazine after firing scores of staff members and its leadership and after accusations of meddling in the show's editorial process. For that, directly as a result of that confrontation at a staff meeting, Mr. Pelley appears to have been fired by the network.
Oh, it not just appears. He was fired. That's Rachel Madcow on MSN Now reporting on that. And as I mentioned in the last hour, did I detect a tear in her eye? And she talked about he was fired for supposedly he had complaints about management meddling in the news. That's exactly what they do at MSN Now and CNN. And they're always meddling in news and pushing bias. It's being exposed more and more. And now that Paramount has purchased CBS News, they want some changes. Barry Weiss was put in as a senior news editor in general, and then she appointed the new executive producer of 60 Minutes, Nick Bilton. Let me give you some quick background on Scott Pelley. I will have to say, aside from his slants and his bias, I have often admired him. He is another native Texan. That doesn't make him good, necessarily. Believe me, I know a lot of bad Texans as well. I know many that are much better than me, honestly. Scott Pelley, born in San Antonio, grew up in Lubbock. Got his first job in journalism at the age of 15 as a copy boy for the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. Then he majored in journalism at Texas Tech University. If he learned anything in journalism at Texas Tech University, he forgot it or ignored it or just turned his back on it as he moved through his career. He has done some outstanding work. I will credit that. And there was, for a period of time, he was the anchor of the CBS Evening News from 2011 to 2017. And they added more than 1.5 million viewers, achieving the highest ratings in more than a decade. Because he was following Dan Rather. That was a lot of things that had turned people off of CBS. And then Pelley served as CBS News chief White House correspondent from 1997 to 99. So he has nearly a 40-year run at CBS News. And as I said, he served at a period of time as the anchor for CBS Evening News. In an email to NBC News, former 60 Minutes executive producer Jeff Fager said, "I wouldn't want to be running the program talking about 60 Minutes without Scott. He is the best of the best." Now, the remaining normal rotating host and correspondents include Leslie Stahl, Bill Whitaker, John Wortham, Anderson Cooper, who just left last month. 60 Minutes, obviously in a head-spinning change right now. Skydance Media taking over Paramount in a merger and then restructuring everything. And I want to ask you, what is the over-under if we're placing bets on your favorite betting platform? What's the over-under on how soon before Leslie Stahl is out the door? I bet she's keeping her mouth silent now that she's seen what happened to Scott, but I don't think that's going to change things. And, of course, what's the over-under on how fast Scott Pelley is picked up by one of the others? I'm looking at a piece in Axios. Scott Pelley fired. The reason it matters. Oh my God, you got my attention. Why does it matter? Well, here's part of their Axios article, and Axios is a left-leaning publication. They point out that Pelley had told Bilton, the new executive producer, you don't have enough experience. And he claimed that Bilton's new boss, Barry Weiss, who is also liberal in many ways, we pointed this out before, but now she's in charge of CBS News overall. He's accusing her of murdering the CBS News flagship show, 60 Minutes, murdering it. In a termination letter, Bilton said, I fired Pelley for cause. Bilton said, I'm disappointed that Pelley chose to ambush me at my first meeting instead of having a conversation after he invited Pelley to dinner. Oh, let's let Rachel Maddow pick up part of the story.
This newly appointed executive wrote to Scott Pelley, and the imbalance in terms of journalistic experience there is remarkable, given what the contents of the letter is. The letter says in part to Scott Pelley, quote, yesterday you hijacked my first meeting with staff to disparage me, my qualifications, and my intentions with remarkable incivility and contempt. The letter from the newly appointed executive producer goes on to say that Mr. Pelley was terminated for cause.
For cause. In a separate letter to the staff, Bilton had said, and again, the new executive producer of 60 Minutes, he said, I tried to find common ground with Scott, but he chose not to. And he said, yesterday's performative display of hostility after you hijacked my first meeting in front of my staff instead of a civil, private conversation demonstrate you have no interest in contributing to the future success of the show. Now, Pelley's response, we want the other side, right? He said, for my part, new management has instructed me. Oh, my God, I don't know if I could say this. Are you listening? Are you listening? Pelley said, this new management has instructed me to inject falsehoods and bias into a politically sensitive story. What the hell have you been doing anyway? We know you have. You and Leslie Stahl, Anderson Cooper, and the rest. You have taken a prize achievement of 60 Minutes, denigrated it, trashed it, set it on fire, put slanders and slurs all over it. But again, back to Pelley, he said, they have forced me to inject falsehoods and bias. I've been told to include assertions that are unverified. Oh, suddenly he is a journalist. I want to verify something. No, you want to verify your point. And he continued. This is in a statement from Scott Pelley. To date, in every case, I have managed to ignore these instructions or refuse them. Recently, politicians have been invited to choose correspondents for interviews on the podcast. Giving politicians control over 60 Minutes interviews is not how this is done. Well, I'm going to agree with that based on how he described it and framed it. But I think there's more behind it. And then he added, finally, incompetence and unprofessionalism and the news management have wreaked havoc. In one case involving one of my stories, the entire program came within 19 minutes of not getting on the air at all. I don't know which story that was, but maybe they had legitimate reasons. Now, last week, the network parted ways with a longtime producer turned executive producer, as well as correspondents Sharon Alfonsi and Cecilia Vega. They had clashed with Barry Rice over delaying airing some of their reports. A former producer, Bill Owens, had resigned back in 2025, citing concerns about journalistic independence. Cooper resigned from 60 Minutes after 20 years just this last Sunday or two, citing, "I want more time with my family." Yeah. But the takeover of CBS by Paramount chief Dave Ellison, the son of billionaire Oracle co-founder Trump ally, Larry Ellison, has news staffers at CNN on edge, as Axios writes it. Paramount has agreed to merge with the CNN parent Warner Brothers Discovery, still awaiting regulatory approval. But the writing's on the wall. We're going to right the ship. We're going to go back to the basics of good journalism. At least that's the preface and what they say will be happening. There was a time that if you watched anything on a Sunday, and of course, if it weren't the Ed Sullivan Show, which also was available at one point, then it was 60 Minutes. And there was always great content and information that came out. Sometimes you detect a little bias, a little slant, but now it's shoving it into your face, which brings us to the Pride Month issue and what's happening with Pride Month. And I have a lot of gay friends, and they are not ones to shove it in my face all the time. "Hey, I'm gay, and I'm queer, and I'm proud, and I'm here." They don't do that. They live their lives. They are adults, and they chose that life. It's not my way of life. It's their way of life. I don't condemn them, and they don't condemn me. But many in the Pride movement, if you're not with us, you're against us. I'm not with you. I'm not necessarily against you, but I'm not going to endorse some of the things you do, period. Biblically, I'm not going to endorse it. Coming up, Secretary of State Rubio on dealing with Iran.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Iran's desire to build a nuclear weapon was going to be built, was going to be effectuated behind a conventional shield. They were going to build for themselves so many missiles, so many drones, so many conventional weapons, including a navy, that at that point, there's nothing you could do about it. What they tried to do is they were going to try to build a conventional shield and hide behind that conventional shield and basically say to the world, if you come and do anything about our nuclear program, we will overwhelm you with missiles, we will overwhelm you with drones, and we will overwhelm you with our Navy, and you will not win. You will not be able to do anything about it. They were seeking that point of immunity, which is why the president chose to act, to deny them that point of immunity. Operation Epic Fury, some of you didn't like it, some of you did, was highly successful in achieving its military objectives, which is dramatically reducing the defense industrial base of Iran, the ability to build these missiles and to build these drones, especially the missiles program.
That's Secretary of State Rubio yesterday testifying in his first public congressional testimony since the launch of Operation Epic Fury back in February. And he argued that the Trump administration's military and economic pressure has significantly weakened the Islamic Republic, pushing Tehran into negotiations, even over nuclear programs. We'll come to that in a moment. And he did declare, his words being quoted here in this story, I think this was from Associated Press. I'm looking for the source. I always like to give that to you so you can re-verify with me. I'm sure it was there. I've seen it so many other places. The words, two words, Rubio saying that the Iran war is, quote, over now. Yes and no. And I think he would acknowledge it. But the context for him to say it's over now, because, again, just last night, Iran launched numerous missiles at other Gulf states, Kuwait being one. In fact, their Kuwaiti International Airport, not a military target, civilian airport. But of course, if you're a terrorist nation, you don't mind killing civilians. I'm probably hoping to kill some Americans at the airport that were going through the Kuwait airport. Unconfirmed numbers of dead and wounded, but we do know that the effort was not complete because they, in addition to one person being confirmed killed and others being wounded in the strike, the U.S., along with Kuwait and others, we were firing back, knocking down those ballistic missiles and drones that were fired at the Gulf countries and including ships around the Hormuz Strait. It, again, is a growing list of back-and-forth exchanges as supposedly there's a ceasefire under process. But Secretary Rubio said there is one thing that we have, while we have to deal with numerous diplomats to have any kind of conversation with these guys, there is one thing that we have seen now that I have never seen, and I think maybe this is the basis for him even uttering the words, the Iran war is over now.
For the first time, certainly in my memory, they have agreed to negotiate aspects of their nuclear program that just a month ago, just a year ago, they were refusing to even mention, much less enter into discussions about. That is not a guarantee that ultimately it will lead to a deal that's acceptable to the Senate or acceptable to the American people. but we'll be able to engage them in a process to truly test the proposition of how far they're willing to go. Complicating that process, unfortunately, is their internal regime is somewhat fractured in the sense of it takes days to get responses from their system. We can go into more depth in your follow-up questions. But we're hopeful that something like that could happen, in which the straits would reopen, we would enter into a period of negotiations on very specific topics, delineated negotiations, in the hope of reaching an outcome that's acceptable to us and something they would be able to do as well.
And Rubio pointed out, for all those who were endorsing, oh, we should have stayed with Obama's direction. He had things under control. No, he did not. And he signed a deal on behalf of our nation that was not a true treaty and agreement. The Obama-era Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, including other nations, France, Britain, Germany. But Rubio pointed out to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday, the JCPOA would have expired this year, even if Trump had not canceled it when he came in for his first administration. He said it would have expired this year, and even under the JCPOA, it would have allowed Iran to keep all the enrichment equipment they needed. But Obama had stressed with this JCPOA, Iran will not have a nuclear weapon on my watch. And he had only months left in his office at that time. As you well know, they had the jungle primary out in California for the LA mayor's race and the California governor's race. They're both still up in the air as to votes still waiting to come in. And my guest in the last hour, James Hertzen, based in California, said we may not have anything really certified until into late June. And even the counting, despite all the efforts of supposedly computerized efforts, especially in a state that has Silicon Valley, you think we would have quick numbers? Nope. And methinks, like many others, they're stalling to find out what other numbers we need to make sure Karen Bass remains mayor and the candidate we want becomes the governor of California. Here's the way CNN reports on this. Just headline, California's race for governor, too early to call. And the same thing regarding Bass in the L.A. mayor's race. She didn't get more than 50 plus one, so they will have to have a runoff with a Republican challenger. But while CNN points out the California race for governor is too early to call, they quickly add, Trump loses Iowa endorsee loss. In other words, someone that had Trump's endorsement lost. That was to become governor of Iowa. Candidate he endorsed did not win in the primary. They're always going to look for the other side, aren't they? Which brings me to something I had discussed in the last hour, but I want to go back over it. My phone, on a regular basis, I get messages. Hi, Larry. It's hard not to be alarmed or outraged by what we're seeing these days. Fundamental decency and honesty on the line. Core freedoms under attack every day. Corruption widespread. Public officials enriching themselves at your expense. And then in bold print, Trump's policies are dangerous. This cannot be a time for weakness or politicians who are just in it for themselves. I'm fighting back by pushing to have Trump impeached and removed from office. Please click below to begin my survey so I can continue the fight for you. Should Trump be impeached and removed from office? Wesley Bell, currently the congressional Missouri 1st Congressional District, getting rid of Cori Bush, pushing her out. And when that happened, I said, I think Bell would be better for his constituency. But I had a response I sent back, and I don't know that Wesley will ever see it. I met him a few times. I wouldn't say we're buddy-buddy and friends, but I have no animosity toward him. In fact, I wrote back in this email, I'll quote it for you. Wesley, I like you. But you and fellow Dems are running on nothing but anti-Trump. Not one solid positive proposal for the USA. This is tired and lazy rhetoric. I'm offering you, Wesley, a chance to come on Larry Connors USA and discuss this. We'll lock it down by email. In the meantime, I pray the best for you and your family. Larry. I don't know that he will see it. I don't know that he will, once he does and it's called to his attention. I think when it starts off, Wesley, I like you, maybe and immediately it'll say, oh, good. Oh, look at the rest of it. It's kind of like the message he's sending me. Our nation is in dire straits. Help me impeach Trump. Oh, no, you crossed the line. You almost had me. I was almost ready to get out of my beanbag chair and join you. But then you threw that in. And now we're hearing word of maybe an actor talking about, fantasizing about Trump being assassinated. And he says it could be an interesting venue for this to happen. He's talking about the Trump cage match that's being set up on the White House lawn even as I speak. President Trump just yesterday was talking about the match they're in the process of putting together.
This is the arena that's being built for UFC.
It is huge.
And it's right at the front door to the White House. And you'll never see it again. It's never happened before, and you'll never see it again. And it's great. And the UFC is going to have all of their best fighters, the best fighters in the world. They're all coming that night. They all say, we want to fight at the White House. And Dana's an amazing man. He's done an amazing job. He's put together something that this will be the highest rated event, maybe one of them ever in sports.
Well, you know, Dana always talks about the fact that when UFC was just at its beginning, you gave him an opportunity when a lot of people didn't. And I think it really forged a friendship for you guys.
What he's done is amazing. I'm not sure anybody could have done it but him.
No.
You don't usually say that, but not many people could have. He's a very special man. But this is going, and it's all free. It's going to soldiers. It's going to have over 100,000, maybe 100,000 people in the park across the street. Eight giant screens, and all free.
All free. There will be 4,500 luxury ticket holders to watch the matches from the White House lawn. An additional 100,000 can view the event on giant outdoor screens outside the $60 million price tag funded by the UFC. Part of UFC Freedom 250. Scheduled for June 14, coinciding with Flag Day and Trump's 80th birthday. But now in the background, here comes actor Jared Gilliman. I had no idea who he is. I don't even know anything about the movie, but he has his role in Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom. Haven't seen them and could care less. And he said in a post on X, a new funniest place for a sitting president to be assassinated is dropping soon. Trump's only had three attempts to take his life in less than 2 years. He was referring about he could be killed while attending the UFC Freedom 250 on the South Lawn of the White House. And then he got attacked, so he deleted his post and complaining that it was a joke. I wasn't genuinely calling for political violence. He said there's actually one thing you can't joke about without being descended upon by the biggest scum on the earth, doxing you and posting your profile. No, you cannot talk about assassinating the President of the United States. It's a threat. It's not a direct threat the way he did it, but it's just the idea, hey, there's a new place where Trump could be assassinated. I believe in freedom of speech. But if you were flying a flag during Biden's administration, especially if you wanted to fly, and they would never be allowed on national park grounds, but you flew a flag, kill Biden, I would be against it. I would say, take it down. Well, the National Park Service cannot revoke a permit for an anti-Trump protest in D.C., an 8647 flag. 8647 referring to kill the 47th president, Donald Trump. And protesters say, oh, we're just using the phrase to demand Trump's impeachment. The Secret Service doesn't see it that way. And it told a court, well, that flag should come down. Well, they fought back, and a federal judge ruling You cannot make them take it down. Even though on national park property, the National Park Service cannot revoke a permit for an anti-Trump protest in D.C. to display a flag 8647. Elton John is coming to push queer people to fight political hostility during this Pride Month. He said, hostility is real and it's growing. We're seeing our rights rolled back. Funding cuts, communities already vulnerable are being made so. There's not a moment for silence or walking away. I've told you before, I have gay, homosexual friends, lesbian. That's their choice of life. We can still be friends as long as they're not trying to force that and using it as a weapon of pedophilia on children. And the ones I know would not do that. By the way, Phoenix Pride, behind Arizona's largest LGBTQ plus gathering, announcing on the eve of Pride Month, it's filed for bankruptcy. We got all this money. We don't know where it went. We don't know. So they're trying to stay alive under Chapter 11 reorganization. Bring in the more money. And, of course, just the other day, St. Louis County executive, you know, declared we're all in on Gay Pride Month in St. Louis County. No, we're not. Make sure you catch tomorrow's program. Tell others. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.